We'll be so careful to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I'll say that again. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's my subject. No, it's not my subject. That's my lead-in verse. Amen. My subject is last day's instructions. Last day's instructions. Hallelujah. We will get where we're going when we get there. Now, I know that didn't make a whole lot of sense to you, but I want to lead in to what I want to tell you. And frankly, I'm not even sure that I'm going to finish today. But if I don't, I hope you'll return next week, because I really do want you to hear everything I have to say here, because it is very, very important. Last day's instruction. Now, first of all, let me establish some things. And I understand I'm speaking to many of you that are students of the Word of God. You've studied the Word of God over the years, and so some of what I'm about to tell you, you know already, you've heard already, but you have to understand also that not everybody is as far along as you are.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Not everybody is as far along in the Word of God as you are. So be patient with them, and you continue to hear the Word of God, because I can promise you something, and I know this from experience. You know, I've been walking with the Lord a long time, been born again a long time, haven't regretted not one second of it. But I've been saved longer than many of you been on this earth. I was born again in 69. You know, that was 1969, not 1869. But, amen. But praise God. But it's been a joy. I've had my challenging times. We all do, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So. Amen. Well, let me move on. But there's some things I want to establish here, and I want you to pay close attention. Go ahead, though, and turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. See, part of my job as a pastor, and not just my job, it's the job of every pastor, is to get God's people ready to meet him. Amen. To meet him. And not only that, get them prepared to serve him while we are still here in the earth. Amen. And you've heard me say this, and I want to say it again. But when I stand before him, I want him to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." How about you? Do you want him to say that about you? If you want him to say that about you, let me see your hand. Amen. I want him to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now let me say this: why, you have to understand the way I minister. Sometime I will stop and take a little side journey, and then I'll get right back on course. But I just try to follow God in as I minister to you. For the ones of you that think you've missed it and that God would never tell you that, just go ahead right now and take a deep breath and breathe it out. And that's a testimony and proof that you are still living and that you can do something about it. Amen. Don't wallow in your misery, complaining about your failures. Get up and do something about it. Get up and do something about it. You can start right now. You can begin right now. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. But like I said, I that's what I want him to say to me. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And so praise God. And he can say that he will say the same thing to you if you'll do what it says, if you will be good and faithful. Do what's right and be faithful. Amen. Praise God. Now, you should have 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I'm laying the groundwork here. It says, beginning at verse 1, it says, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by the way, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Now, I want to stop right there just a moment, and I want to ask you a question. Will you look at me? Everybody look up here at me. I know you're looking at your Bibles, but you can go back to that in just a moment. Don't even respond. I just want you to look at me and listen for a moment. Just look at me and listen. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. My question is that you? You don't have to respond to me. Just listen. That word, some, I'm sure glad it didn't say all.
Amen.
It says some. Now, you have to understand, in order to depart from, you can't depart from something you've never been in. So what it's saying is that there are some that was walking in the faith, living in the faith, but in the latter days, in the last days, they are going to depart from the faith. Okay? And I hope your response was, not me. Not me. And that's a decision we all have to make. So now let me read the entire verse. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons or devils. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. Now, if a devil's going to deceive you, he must first have your attention. He must first have your attention. You're walking the straight and narrow, and he's on the side of the road, and he whistles at you and say, hey, you, over here, over here, come over here. I got something to tell you. I got something good for you. He's got to get your attention in order to deceive you. Because if your eyes are straight on, If you're walking in the Word of God and your eyes are straight on ahead of you and you're not looking to the right nor to the left, he can't get you. You might hear him whistle. You might hear him yell out at you, but you won't pay it any attention. You keep on moving. He goes on to say, verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, I'm going to stop right there, but let me say something. Here's a dangerous place to be. Like I said, folks, I'm just taking my time with this. Should the Lord tarry, there'll be another one, another chance. But please listen to me real good. It says, verse 2, speaking lies, this is the devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy. And oh, and by the way, this devil worked through other people also. There are people that have departed from the faith, and guess what they do? They work on getting others to depart. Oh man, come over here where I am. This is good over here. And the whole thing is of the devil. God's not in it, but it looks good, feel good, sound good. But it says that you can get to a place where your conscience is seared. And when you get to that place, it becomes hard for you to listen to reason. It becomes hard for you when someone come and say, wait a minute, brothers and sisters, that doesn't line up with God's word. The Bible doesn't say that. That's going crosswise of what God is saying. But your conscience is so seared that you won't listen. And guess what? When your conscience also becomes seared, you would do things that you wouldn't have thought of doing at other times in your life. You get involved in things that you wouldn't have even considered. You know, sometimes you hear about, oh, such and such, and, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that, and you think, how in the world did they get to that place? Well, their conscience is seared. You know what? I'm going to do it too, and hopefully you will join me, but I'm keeping my conscience tender and sensitive. You know what? I don't want the Lord to let me get away with nothing. If it's not, you understand me? If it's not right, if it's not pleasing him. Speak to my heart, Lord. Now, you have to understand something. He'll speak to you. But you're the one that has to listen. You're the one that must take action. We're the ones. I say you, but that includes me too. We're the ones. That's called conviction. The Spirit of God will convict us. But we have to get up and do something about it. But once the Holy Spirit convicts us enough, every time that we listen to me, every time that we disobey God, anytime we overrule the leadership or the conviction of the Holy Spirit, our conscience become more seared. We can get to the place where it is hard to hear from God. And we get to the place where we do anything. We get up on Sunday mornings in church and we sing and shout and do our little dance. And then we, in other words, have two different lives. You got your church life. In other words, you got your Sunday life and you got your Monday through Saturday life. Hallelujah. Well, how can that happen? Your conscience is seared. You know what happens? Sometimes, if we fall or if we do something or if we allow something and we feel real bad about it, and we're waiting for God to get us, zap us. And then we wait a while, look around, nothing happened. So, next time we're tempted, we say, well, you know what? Last time I did that, nothing happened. So maybe it's okay. And then we continue to live that type of lifestyle, and then we get to that place where it must be okay with God. And there are preachers right now that have fallen into that trap. The sad thing about that is they have great influence over other people. People follow them. People look up to them. Now, let me say this to you. I told you I'm taking my time, y'all. But let me say this to you. Thank you for your honor and respect for my wife and for me. We don't take that lightly. Thank you for listening to me when I preach the word of God. That's reading you here today. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for receiving the word of God from me. Amen. But I'm only the messenger. I am not your Savior. I am called an under shepherd. Jesus Christ is called the chief shepherd. My job as the under shepherd is to take you to this word, not give you my own opinions. My job is to give you the word of God. You didn't come here to be fed my opinion. You have come here to hear and receive the living, everlasting, life-giving Word of God. And any good pastor will feed you the Word of God so that if you are not even around your pastor, or if you move to a different city or a different area and you're not around your pastor, he or she have fed you the living word of God, and you can take that word of God and live for God and be victorious for God because you've been fed right. And the preacher didn't try to draw attention to themselves. But point you to the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? That's my job. Because I'm here to tell you right now, I can't save y'all. Couldn't even save me. We all needed Jesus. And we still do. Hallelujah. A good minister will point you to Jesus and point you to the Word of God, not get you off over there in left field somewhere experimenting with something. No. Stay with the Bible. Hallelujah. You're still with me. All righty. Now, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go to Timothy's next letter, which is 2 Timothy, same chapter. Talking about last days instructions, but I just want to lay this foundation. Like I said, I'm probably not going to finish. But in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, now, the Apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, was exhorting Timothy in verse 1. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What did he tell him to do? What did he tell him to do? He told him to preach the word. Notice he didn't tell him to preach Paul. He didn't tell him to preach himself. His own ideas. You know, times change. Things change. Week after week, year, month after month, year after year. But the Word of God never changes. It remains the same. It remains the same. So he told him, he said, preach the word. And he went on to tell him, say, be ready in season and out of season. Say, we got to preach the word when folk want to hear it and when they don't. We got to preach the word when they get mad at you and grab their belongings and their Bibles or whatever and walk out the door while you still preaching. You still got to preach the word of God. Oh, sometimes folk get mad at you because you preach the word of God. But what you're preaching is going crosswise of what they want to do and how they want to live. So they get mad at you when they really need to take it up with God. You take it up with God. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you ahead of time, you can take it up with God, and that's good and fine, but God ain't changing his mind. He ain't changing his mind. He's not going to change one letter in his word to please us. But we still got to preach it in season, in out of season, when it's popular, when it's unpopular, when folk want to hear it and when they don't. And he went on to say, convince, this is verse 2, convince, rebuke, this may be a little slippery slope here, but I'm going to see. I'm just going to see. You notice it says here, rebuke. How many of you are willing to receive rebuke from your pastor? Now, you have to understand, this is not fleshy. I ain't talking about pastor in the flesh. I'm talking about one full of the Holy Ghost under the anointing of God. First of all, you have to understand that a true man of God or a true woman of God, they first love you and they want everything that's good for you. And rebuke simply means, and I don't know what your interpretation of rebuke is, but what it means is correction. Now let me ask you a question. Those of you that are parents, how many of you have ever corrected your children? Oh, okay, all right. You've corrected your children. But now, did you do it because you hated them? Did you do it because you wanted to humiliate them? No. You did it because you didn't want them to, if I can use it this way, you didn't want them to miss the boat. You loved them enough to tell them the truth when they wanted to hear it and when they didn't. And their parents, that, you know, they were bold in the face of their children. They told them the truth and they stood their ground. Especially mamas. And the child walk out the door like they didn't even care. And mama shedded tears that they never saw. Why? Because she loved her children. She had to rebuke them and be strong. And dads too. Rebuke them and be strong. Correct them and be strong. But they loved them. They prayed for them. And I want to tell you right now, my children, our children, have a praying mama. That one. Praying mama. She would be in prayer and God would show her things that was either happening or about to happen to some of them. And she'd come share it with me. I didn't see it, you know, but she did. While she was in prayer. Just, you know, am I telling the truth? Now, you know, we don't have to stretch anything. We don't have anybody to impress. But God would show her things, and she would know how to pray. And most of the time, you'd be praying in spirit, right? Praying in other tongues. Why? Because she loved her kids. She loved her children, and she was praying for her children. I prayed for them, too. And I know you pray for yours. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, if you don't pray for yours, now is a good time to start. Because believe me, they meet challenges every day. In school, they meet challenges. This is one of the most challenging times that we have lived in. In many places, they've gotten away in the school system. They've gotten away from education. I thank God we have good teachers in this church. Somebody say amen. But in many places, they've gotten away from teaching, I say it from the Word of God, but they've gotten away from teaching the children. And they've gotten over into trying to change their minds, turn them against their parents, turn them against what's right. But he told Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now I'll tell you this myself. As a pastor, you got to be patient with folk. Amen. You know that too, don't you, sister? Amen. You've been around here a while, ain't you? Hallelujah. You have to be patient. You have to be patient yet firm with the ones that are rebellious and patient with the one that's learning. They trying to get there. They trying to make it. You know, they like that little choo-choo train you heard about in the nursery rhymes. And some of y'all, I know I'm old, but the little train said, well, I go, I think I can. I think I can. Well, you know, they trying to choo, 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 choo. But you got to be patient with them, and you got to work with them, and you got to love them. Because they trying. And they learning. And that's what he's saying, with long suffering. Teach them. Well, glory to God. Y'all still here with me? Now, let's go on to verse 3. He says, for the time will come, and this is the reason we have to preach the word in season and out of season. We have to convince, rebuke, exhort with patience or long-suffering, teaching folks, because of verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Somebody from somewhere gonna come in with something strange. See, that's the reason the wolves have sheep costumes in their closet. And on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever service time is, they'll go in the closet and pull out a sheep uniform and put it on. I'm talking about the wolves. And they'll come to church not because they want to learn anything, but they come in to see who they can see. They want to scout out the congregation and see who's weak. You notice how, animals do, especially in Africa and places like that, the strong animals, they look at the lions, let's say, for example, they see a herd of deer or whatever, they may not can run them down, but they're looking, see if they can find a weak one. Or maybe, one that's hurt, wounded, and they know this one can't run very fast. I can catch it. Or maybe the babies who, they growing, but they're not grown. So they look out for the babies so that they can devour them. Don't the Bible say that the devil goes throughout the earth seeking whom he may devour? Which tells us he know he can't devour everybody. He can't take down everybody, but he's looking for the ones that don't have a clue. He's looking for the ones that set up in church, should have been listening, but they weren't. And they leave, they ain't got the slightest idea what the pastor said or anybody else for that matter, because they was on their cell phone. They was checking up on their emails. They was on Facebook. Oh, what's that other one? Twitter and all that other stuff that takes up your time. Please don't do that in here. And I hadn't seen anybody do it, okay? Because I haven't seen you don't mean God hadn't seen you. But when you do that, you miss something. Amen. Before you ever come through the door, go ahead and settle it with the devil and settle it with your body. Go ahead and you talk to yourself and say, body, now I'm going to church to hear the word of God. And I just want to let you know, you ain't going to sleep. Stay awake. I have never seen anybody sitting around the dinner table. Maybe you have, I haven't. And they're eating a little bit, eating, and all of a sudden the head go plop right into the food. But now wait a minute. Now, we have a part to play in that, too, because you have to understand, now, if it's Sunday morning, you can't stay up to 3 or 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen over here? Can I get an amen in the center section? What about over here? You can't stay up all night and expect to stay awake in church. Go to bed. Y'all ready for me to hush? Why? Because you need to hear the word of God. You're going to need it. Remember, I told, and I do have to quit. I told you ahead of time. But you have to understand. Listen to me. You have to understand. Now, I've talked to you, and I won't go into it today, but most of you have heard me teach on it. But there are spirits called familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. Which means then that they are familiar with you. And matter of fact, sad to say, some, everybody say some, but not all. Some so-called prophets or some so-called folks that say they're moving in the gifts of the Holy Ghost are actually being moved and influenced by familiar spirits. They tell you something about your life. You say, ooh, nobody knew that but me and God. Well, that familiar spirit knew it. Yeah, it knew it. Because just like there are holy angels of God, there are demonic spirits. Now, you don't have to be afraid. And if it's any consolation to you, there are more holy angels than there are demons. Glory be to God. But they're watching you all the time. So, you know, what? Guess what? If you're dozing, they're going to say, oh, that one's not getting the word. Make a note of that. I'm going to test her. I'm going to test him. But say, not me.
Not me.
Amen. All right, I know I got to wind this up. So it says, verse 3 again, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to what? Their own desires, because they have what? Oh, man, I could preach on this a while. Itching ears. I've had people to tell me, listen to me, I've had people to tell me, and some of you witnessed it, I was very nice that day. Thank God. I believe it was the Holy Ghost. But I've been told in my own church, in front of my own congregation, that what I taught and preached weren't deep enough. I wouldn't advise you to try that now. I may not be as gentle as I was back then. But they wanted something deep. They wanted, you know, my goodness. What in the world you want something deep for when you can't even handle the shallow? You're not even living the shallow. And I don't consider what I preach here shallow, but I'm making a point. Itching ears. I want to hear something else. I want you to tickle my flesh. When a person is not doing what they're hearing, I want to use my gift. I want to use my gift. I want to use my gift. Can I ask you a question, sir? Can I ask you a question, ma'am? What about your character? Because there is a vast difference between giftings and character. Now, gifting will take you high, but because of a lack of character, you'll fall back to the ground. In other words, gifts will take you places your character can't keep you. Look at politics. That's a good example. Many smooth-talking politicians, they made it to the top or near the top, but their lack of character caught up with them, and guess what? They fail. They fail. Amen. So don't have itching ears. Just be hungry for the living Word of God. Hungry for the living Word of God. Praise God. Musicians, come on. I'm getting ready to quit. Verse 3 again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will what? Heap up for themselves what? Teachers they choose. Teachers they choose. Preachers that mama called. Y'all ever heard of a mama called preacher? Son, I think you would make a good preacher. No, preachers are called by God. Let me say that again. Preachers are called by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think here. I don't know if I can find it or not. Just bear with me a minute. I'm looking for something. Okay. Turn in your Bibles real quick. Don't hold your place here, 2 Timothy, but I want you to turn in your Bibles real quick to back to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Guys upstairs, put verse 12 on the screen for me. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Remember I said preachers are not mama called, but God called? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the Apostle Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. Everybody say, enable me. Because he counted me what?
Faithful.
And what else did he do? Who did that? Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let me tell you something else. You can be called, and I'm not going to get off on another sermon here, but I just want to leave this with you. You can be called by God, but still not be in the ministry simply because you're not faithful. That's the reason Bible says, do not allow a novice to pastor a church. He has to be found faithful. He has to be enabled by God, by Jesus Christ himself. And he puts him or her in the ministry. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to share that one with you. Let's go back over to 2 Timothy so we can finish. I won't even take up offering on that one. How about it? I'm playing with you. All right, we gotta close this out. Amen. Verse 3 again, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, not necessarily teachers called by God, but somebody who's going to tell them what they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Last day's instructions, my subject. We need to be careful who we listen to. Amen. You should never go to a church simply because you're looking for an office. Now, and we're going to get to that. We don't have time today. But sometimes folks pick churches simply because they are looking for a position, when they really need to look to the Holy Spirit to lead them. You follow what I'm saying? Because some folk are not ready for a position. Matter of fact, some folk are not even born again. Can I get another amen on that? But we are told to be led by the Spirit of God. And then when you go to the church that you go to, make up your mind, I am going to be faithful. I am going to be faithful. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Y'all know y'all got me preaching today. I don't know which ones of you it is, but y'all pulling it out of me today. Praise God. But that's all right, ain't it? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But I didn't finish. I didn't finish. So we're going to revisit this again. Because I didn't give you all the last day's instructions. There's some things that I want to, some other things I want to share with you. Amen. So when you come back to this same station, same channel, next week, glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We know your word will never return to you void, but it will fulfill your purpose in this earth and our lives.